Well, the great day has arrived. Roe v. Wade is overturned. Roe v. Wade is no more. Casey is also overturned. The Dobbs decision just came out, and it's great news. Let's celebrate this joyous news, but let's also look ahead to what this means going forward. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, the host of Crisis Point and chief of Crisis Magazine. So I just thought we'd do a special episode today. This great day, June 24th, 2022, which will probably go down history as one of the greatest days in the history of the United States of America, because finally one of the worst decisions ever in the history of our nation has been overturned. Probably is the worst. I mean, it ranks right up there. Obviously, some of the great, terrible decisions, but this is probably Roe v. Wade. No question that no Supreme Court decision has caused more bloodshed, has more directly caused more bloodshed than Roe v. Wade. And now it's no more. So let's just be clear about what Roe was. Before we put it into the trash bin, let's remember what it was. It was a few men in white robes deciding for the entire nation, unelected men in white, and sorry, black robes. They, you know, they're as bad as racist. In black robes, who decided to make abortion legal throughout the United States of America. They made basically, along with their corresponding Doe decision, they made abortion essentially legal in all 9 months in all 50 states like that. That's what Roe was. We have to remember that's what Roe was. Before that, there were some states that were making abortion legal. But many states, it was illegal. And in fact, in 1973, when the decision, Roe v. Wade decision came down, most Americans did not want abortion to be legal, definitely not for all 9 months in all 50 states. Yet, just a few men made that happen. So Roe v. Wade was not only an evil decision that caused more bloodshed than probably any other decision in the history of the United States Supreme Court decision, but it was also highly unconstitutional. The idea that the judicial branch could basically make law, and that's exactly what they did, they could make law, goes completely against the whole point of the Constitution. It's for the legislators who answer directly to the people. They're the ones who are supposed to make law. And then, but what happened here, and this has happened so many times in recent history of the Supreme Court, they made law. They made law that has been responsible for the death of millions and millions and millions of unborn babies. Now, the decision today, the Dobbs decision, obviously just came out a couple hours ago. It's 200 some pages long. I haven't gone through the whole thing. I have spot checked it and done a few checks on it. But essentially what it does is it returns the abortion legal situation back to the way it was before Roe, in the sense that now states are going to decide. States can decide whether or not to overturn Roe v. Wade or not. Now, already, and this is only at 1 p.m. Eastern time on June 24th, already two states have announced that abortion is illegal in their states. In Texas, from the Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas, says SCOTUS just overruled Roe and Casey, ending one of the most morally and legally corrupt eras in U.S. history. Praise the Lord. Abortion is now illegal in Texas. Let me say that again. Abortion is now illegal in Texas. And today I'm closing my office. This is the Attorney General of Texas. I'm closing my office and making an annual holiday as a memorial to 70 million lives lost because of abortion. I mean, that's just awesome. Then Missouri has also made abortion illegal. Following the SCOTUS ruling overturning Roe v. Wade, Missouri just became the first in the country to effectively end abortion, with our Attorney General opinion signed moments ago. This is a monumental day for the sanctity of life. So right now, already, it's illegal. Abortion is illegal in Texas and Missouri, and other states are sure to follow. I don't know the exact count of what states are going to, how many states are going to outlaw abortion. I think it's around 17, 8, something like that. I think it's under 20. States like mine in Ohio, we actually have a law in place. I don't think it has gone in effect yet because it was waiting for this, where abortion is illegal after 6 weeks, which is a great law. It's not perfect because obviously we want abortion illegal from conception. But the truth is a lot of women don't even know they're pregnant before before 6 weeks. So if you make abortion illegal after 6 weeks, you make almost all abortions illegal. So that's a great thing. I'm hoping that happens here in Ohio. So that's essentially the what it is now. It's important to note that the Dobbs decision did not make abortion illegal. All it did was simply overturn Roe, overturn Casey, which forced abortion to be legal in all 50 states. So what this does, again, it brings it back to the states. Now, what this means then is that as pro-lifers, we need to work in our states to make abortion illegal. Now, I know a lot of pro-lifers, we want a constitutional amendment to make abortion, basically to give personhood, to recognize the personhood of the unborn from the moment of conception. That is the ideal. That is what we all eventually would like to have. However, the fact that it's back in the states is actually fitting in a way, because whether or not something is actions are criminal or not, it is the purview of the states in general. For example, murder is illegal in all 50 states, but it's not like you need a federal law to make it illegal, to make murder illegal. States determine that. They determine what the penalties are, what exactly constitutes murder, stuff like that. So I don't think we should be negative as pro-lifers, the fact that abortion is now in the hands of the states, because that's actually the way most crimes are dealt with. So what we need to do, though, is we need to work in each state. Whatever state you're in, work to make abortion illegal. And this is more, we have more reason to be optimistic about this than we've ever had before. Because the whole problem with Roe is it took the decision out of our hands. We could, as a people, we could not decide we want abortion to be illegal in our state, in our community. It was taken out of our hands by, again, I think it was 7-2 was Roe decision, by seven men in black robes 50 years ago. And so the fact that it's going back to the states means we do now have a voice. You can now elect your state representatives. They actually matter, again. Elect your state representatives and elect pro-life state representatives who actually now have something to do. The funny thing is, you know, your state reps often, they might be pro-life, you vote for them, but they almost could do nothing when it comes to abortion. And they knew it. So in a sense, this is great because it calls all the pro-life Republicans who are basically just ran on pro-life, but they knew they didn't have to do anything about it. Now they're actually going to do something about it. When the bill is introduced in your state outlawing abortion, check to see what your rep does. See if he put his money where his mouth is. And elect him, get him out of there if he doesn't vote to outlaw abortion in your state. So that's what we need to do, is now we focus locally on each state. If you're in a state that's already made abortion illegal, like Texas, maybe help out other states. Maybe find states where it's very close and donate to the local pro-life groups in that state. Do what you can to make abortion illegal in other states. So if you're in Texas, you're in Missouri, and only one of these states that makes abortion illegal, help out the other states where it's not. Now, there will be a few states we know that will be adamantly pro-abortion. California, New York, probably the top two. I would think a state like Oregon or something like that would also do that. And those states are going to be a lot longer of a haul. But the fact is that this is great news because so many babies are going to be saved. So many babies. They've already said that in Texas, for example, where the heartbeat law went into effect last year, that already babies have been saved because of that law. So now it's clear, with abortion being illegal in those states and more states to come, many babies will be saved. And that's just something we need to really be thankful for. Another thing about this decision we should note is that it could have a dramatic effect on future decisions of the court. Justice Thomas, who's obviously the best of all the justices, he concurred with the Alito opinion in Dobbs, but he also wrote a concurring opinion, and he brings up the fact that the basis that the court has been using for decisions like Roe, decisions like Griswold, Lawrence, and Obergefell, I'll explain what those three are in a minute, they all really do come into question. So Griswold is the 1960s decision that basically made birth control legal in the United States. Lawrence is, I think it's from the 80s, the decision that basically made it so that same-sex activity could not be sodomy, could not be made illegal. And then Obergefell, I think most of us know what that is. That's from 2015 or 14, something like that, where gay marriage was made legal in all 50 states, even though many states had actually, legislators had decided to make it and had passed resolutions making it illegal, including California. And so the legal basis for those, now Thomas made very clear in his concurring opinion, Dobbs, that Dobbs does not impact those decisions. It's only about abortion, only about Roe, only about Casey. But he said also, he goes, in future cases, we should reconsider all of this court's substantive due process precedents, including Griswold, Lawrence, and Obergefell. He basically is saying that the way the court has ruled things over the past 60 years is fundamentally flawed in these decisions, and they need to all be reconsidered. Does that mean all of a sudden tomorrow that a contraception is going to be illegal? No. The whole point isn't that the court is going to make contraception or same-sex activity or same-sex marriage legal. The whole point is the court's going to get out of that whole business of doing that. Instead, it's going to leave it to the states to do that. And we all know there's not one state in the union that is even close to the idea of making contraception illegal. So it's just a joke when people say, oh, now the next thing you're going to do is take your birth control away. That's not going to happen in America. However, if they could overturn Obergefell, then potentially, yes, same-sex marriage could be made illegal again in many states, just like with abortion. So that's very promising as well from the Dobbs decision, is that the court's starting to see that their making of law that they've been doing instead of interpreting the law is fundamentally flawed, and they need to potentially get away from that. So let's pray that happens. So in our prayers, all our prayers we're having for this, also let's pray for those other decisions that they fall as well, so that things can go back to the states. Now, today is by far a great day. The most important thing about today is it's a great day to celebrate. There have been countless people who have worked tirelessly for this day to overturn Roe. I've been involved in the pro-life movement for over 30 years. I know so many people who have done so much, prayed at the abortion clinics every week, counseled women to not get abortions, worked in legislatures to try to get pro-life laws in there, worked to train lawyers so that they become good judges that would make decisions like this. All the different things that have happened over the past 50 plus years to get to us to this point. I mean, I think we should be very grateful. We should be very grateful to God for making this happen. And yes, I do think that one person we should be thankful for is President Donald Trump. People who listen to this podcast know I've never been a huge fan of Donald Trump, yet there is no way we cannot give him his due. Three of the six justices that voted to overturn Roe v. Wade were appointed by Donald Trump. If Hillary Clinton had appointed those three, we all know this day would not have happened. And so we should be very thankful, not only that Trump won in 2016, I did not vote for him in 2016, but I'm very thankful he won. We should not only be thankful for that, but we should be thankful that he actually followed through and he appointed justices who would do this. I don't think George W. Bush, I know a couple of the justices were appointed by George W. Bush, but a Republican like him does not have a good track record in getting justices that are very good on this. And that's exactly what Trump did. So we should be very thankful for him. Also, I think we have to acknowledge what today is. Today is June 24th. Today is the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And also, typically on June 24th is the Feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. This year it's bumped because of the Feast of the Sacred Heart, which, by the way, John the Baptist is very happy. As he said, he must increase, I must decrease. And so I think we should recognize this is not a coincidence. I mean, I kind of think that Justice Thomas made it so that the Dobbs will come out today. He somehow finagled it, so it'll come out today. There are no coincidences when it comes to God. This is a victory of the Sacred Heart. How many millions of hearts have been stopped beating because of Roe? And now the greatest heart of them all, the divine heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, has put an end to Roe. Does not put an end to abortion. We know that. But it does put an end to this evil decision of Roe v. Wade. We have to give thanks to Jesus Christ. This is made so obvious. This has not been primarily a political battle, but has been primarily a spiritual battle. Those of us who have been involved in pro-life movement for so long know this, already know this. But yet, at the same time, this is a great sign from heaven that this has always been a spiritual battle. It doesn't mean we don't work in the political sphere. It doesn't mean we're not praying at the abortion clinics. It doesn't mean we aren't trying to convert hearts to the pro-life cause. What it does mean, though, is ultimately the victory is always, always the victory of Jesus Christ. And this decision coming down today on the Sacred Heart, Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and also St. John the Baptist, traditionally it always will be, June 24th is always going to be known as the day Dobbs came out and the Feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. But this is a victory for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we know it's his victory. It's not our victory. We're just soldiers in the battle. He's the king. He's the one who moves the pieces around, and we give all glory to him. We give all credit to him as well. I also think we should recognize that 3 months ago, almost to the day, Pope Francis consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Our Lady promised that when this happens, many good things will happen. Many souls will be converted. And so I don't think that's a coincidence either. I know people get all skittish when we try to directly connect spiritual things with things that happen in this world. I mean, the whole world freaked out, it seemed like, when I said that Pachamama caused COVID. But the fact is that I do believe that the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we were promised very good things if that happened. The Pope did that in union with the bishops. That's exactly what happened 3 months ago. And now it happened. Now this happens. And they're connected too, because of course that happened on the Feast of the Annunciation, when our Lord, when the announcement was made to Our Lady that our Lord, she would conceive the Lord. And then 3 months later, the forerunner, St. John the Baptist, is born. And Our Lady, of course, visited Elizabeth. The two babies met while they were in the womb. What a pro-life image that is. So all these things come together. This is there are no coincidences here. All these spiritual realities are coming together. And I think that should give us great confidence and great strength as we begin the battle now. Because as we know, the battle is not over. There have been many threats from pro-abortion forces against us. Remember, this is, you know, we have the Blessed Sacrament. They have the cursed anti-sacrament. And abortion is their cursed anti-sacrament. And they treat it as seriously as we treat, or as we should treat, the Blessed Sacrament. And so they are not going to take this lying down. The important thing to remember here is our enemy is Satan. Our enemy is actually not the pro-abortion forces. They are just working for our enemy. Our goal isn't to defeat them. Our goal is to convert them over to our side. So we need to pray and fast for their deliverance. Because the fact is, and I know this from personal direct experience, the most rabid pro-abortion activists are demonically influenced, if not outright possessed. This is just a truth that we have to accept. I saw today a kind of prominent pro-lifer was saying, oh, we need to recognize there are good people and the other, you know, who are only care about women's health, who are upset, very upset about today's ruling. I'm sorry, but many of the leaders and many of the activists on the pro-abortion side, they are demonically influenced, demonically possessed. We need to recognize that and treat it like that. And when somebody's demonically possessed, what do? We pray for their deliverance. We pray exorcism prayers. We pray to do everything we can to keep the influence of the devil off of them. And we pray for their deliverance and conversion to the side of Jesus Christ. And so we really need to do everything we can to fight for the unborn. I just saw where President Biden just made an announcement where he's all completely upset about this decision, which shows he's not Catholic. I know he was baptized as a Catholic, but the man is not Catholic. He's working on the side of evil. He is working for the devil. I'm not saying he's demonically possessed or influenced, but I wouldn't say he isn't either. I am saying that he is definitely working on the side of the devil. He is not Catholic in any way, shape, or form. We should not treat him as a Catholic in any way, shape, or form. But what we need to do is now we can take time to celebrate, and we should. Let's celebrate this wonderful day. Let's rejoice. Let's be grateful. Let's give credit, all the credit, every bit of the credit goes to Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. We need to give it all credit to him and celebrate. But now our task really begins. We need to continue to pray and fast. We need to continue helping mothers in crisis pregnancy. I mean, that's the big lie of the pro-abortion side, is that we don't do anything to help mothers. We don't do anything to help those in crisis pregnancies. We pro-lifers know that's been a lie from day one. We need to continue. There'll be more mothers in crisis pregnancies. God willing, there'll be more mothers who are not, you know, going for abortion. We need to do everything we can to help them. We need to do everything we can to protect crisis pregnancy centers from attack, protect our churches from attack. Again, we need to pray for the deliverance of the pro-abortion forces from demonic influence, demonic possession. We need to work in our individual states to outlaw abortion, do everything we can to make abortion completely illegal in the entire United States and completely unthinkable in the entire United States. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap it up there. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Thank you to all the pro-life warriors who have worked so hard, so long for this day. The battle is, the war is not over, but this is a great victory. This is the biggest victory we've ever seen. I am not ashamed to admit that when this came down that I teared up. People who know me know I am not an emotional person, but I just couldn't help it because I know how many people have worked so hard for so many years for this day to come. And many of them are no longer with us. They're in heaven. They've been interceding for us. But so many of those who have, I mean, people like Joan Andrews Bell, people like Joe Scheidler, people like Monica Miller, all the countless like grandmothers who go to the abortion clinic, who get out of their house, they go to the abortion clinic and they pray their rosaries in front of the clinic. All these people, I just think of them and I'm just so grateful for what they have done and what and how it's led us to this day. So let's continue to pray, continue to fast, and continue to rejoice and continue to thank God. Okay, everybody, until next time, God love you.